So I've teased it all week. How good is this Georgia team? We take a deep dive into the stat sheet, find out defensively, offensively, who are the Bulldogs? Plus a conversation with Chris Lowe of ESPN, all that and more on a Thursday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's your Thursday Locked On Vols, and I'm your host, Eric Kane. At underscore Kane or on Twitter, at Locked On Vols. That's where you can find this podcast 5 days a week, completely free and on all platforms. YouTube coming soon. Thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen. Today's episode is brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's an unofficial community center. A big thank you to all of our friends at McDonald's for always being there. McDonald's, I'm loving it. So we're going to dive into the Bulldogs. No crossover episode this week, and I do apologize. Tried to make that work, but we just couldn't iron out a time to get that done. But we'll talk to the guys from Locked On Bulldogs during basketball season. I will have a conversation with a writer for the rival site that covers Georgia. That will come up on tomorrow's show. So I am going to get you a preview of some sort, someone who covers the team. That will be on tomorrow's show. But until then, we are going to make do with what notes I have on Georgia. And of course, the notes you guys have mentally from watching Georgia, I'm sure, play a couple of times this year, seemingly always on television. We will dive into offense, or really, we'll go defense first because that is the storyline of this Georgia Bulldog team. We'll do defense here. We'll do offense in segment two. And then again, like I said in the cold open, a familiar voice and friend of the show, Chris Lowe of ESPN. He joined Josh and I, Josh Ward, as I filled in for Heather Harrington on Sports 180 on Wednesday on the Sports Animal. And I'm going to bring you that conversation here on Locked On Vols. So defensively, again, and I know a lot of some of you guys listen think that I give a lot of praise and credit to the opponent, and I do, and that's fine. But if there's ever a reason to give praise and respect and admiration to an opponent, I mean, it's now or never, right? I mean, Georgia, you know, and I'll get to offensively in a moment. I think they're fine offensively. I think that they're a good team offensively. But this is an elite defense. This is the best defense that Tennessee will see all year. This is the best defense likely that Hendon Hooker will see in college. It's just kind of one of those weeks, right? I mean, we know. We've seen Georgia play on television a couple of times this year. Let's dive into the stat sheet and then find out the personnel. Georgia defensively, number one in the nation, 6.6 points given up per game. They don't even average giving up 7 points a game, right? So just a little over a touchdown and just a little less than an extra point. I mean, let that sink in. Let that sink in, right? I mean, that is incredible. You've had two teams that have scored 13 points on Georgia this year, South Carolina and Kentucky. Auburn scored 10. Clemson in the season opening weekend only got 3 on them. Florida only scored 7 in the world's largest cocktail party. UAB scored 7 back in week 2. Missouri just scored 6. Of course, Missouri was down Connor Bazelak. So it's been tough sledding offensively against this Georgia defense all year long. 6.6 points given up per game. That is first in the nation easily. Now, these next few stats are second in the nation. Georgia is second in the nation in total defense, in pass defense, in rush defense, and first downs given up. This Georgia defense allows only 13 first downs to the opposing offense per game. Tennessee is well into the 20s, okay, in averaging first downs per game. So 13 first downs is all opposing offenses have mustered up against this Georgia defense on average. Total defense, Georgia's defense gives up 232 yards a game. Again, second in the nation. Pass defense, Georgia's only allowing 151 yards passing per game. Again, second in the nation. 81 yards is what Georgia is giving up on the ground per game. Again, second in the nation. And then I mentioned the 13 first downs. Georgia's defense is holding offenses to a 31% clip on third down conversion rates. Opposing offenses have garnered a 50% fourth down conversion rate of 20 opportunities. They've converted 10 times. Georgia's defense is averaging 29 minutes and 35 seconds on the field per game. It's gotten 28 sacks, 54 tackles for loss, 10 interceptions, and 3 forced or fumble recoveries. So 13 total takeaways and 28 sacks for this Georgia defense. And it's no surprise that it's got all those TFLs, 54 on the year, which again, prior to Tennessee's game against Kentucky, where they only got, I believe, three TFLs, Tennessee was leading the nation with 70, before the bye week. So, you know, it's probably not leading the nation any longer. I'll have to look up that stat. But Georgia is at 54 TFLs and 28 sacks. And again, it all starts up front with big number 99, Jordan Davis. 3.5 TFLs on the season, 2 sacks. He'll play the nose. He'll play the shades. He can play 1 technique. He can play a 3 technique. He plays a little all over. He is the best player on the team, and it all starts inside and out for Georgia on that defensive front. He does not have the best stats, again, because he plays in the interior, but he is the best player. Trust me. Outside of Jordan Davis, you got Devonta Wyatt, who's on the defensive line, 4 TFLs and 1.5 sacks on the season. You got Jalen Carter, who leads the team with 6.5 TFLs and 3 sacks. You've got Trayvon Walker, 5 TFLs and 3.5 sacks. So you've got a really nice defensive line unit there for Georgia. And again, it all starts inside and out, and they are suffocating against the run. On the edge, Adam Anderson, outside linebacker. He will not be available for this game as he is currently, there's an alleged sexual assault case against him. So he has been suspended indefinitely. He didn't play against Missouri last week, and he will not play against Tennessee on Saturday. But he has 32 tackles, 5 sacks, and 14 QB hurries. But he's unavailable. So on the edge, it's all Nolan Smith. 32 tackles, 4.5 TFLs, and an interception. Nolan Smith is a really, really, really good player. Quay Walker's another guy. 39 tackles, 11 QB hurries. He'll play on the edge a little bit. In the middle, you got Channing Tindall, who leads the team with 45 tackles. You got N'Kobe Dean, who 38 tackles, 5 TFLs, 3.5 sacks, 2 interceptions, and 13 quarterback hurries. He plays a little inside and a little outside. Good defenses can be multiple with its personnel, and that's exactly what Georgia is. If there is one weakness in this Georgia defense, and Chris Lowe will hit on it later in the show, I would say it's the secondary. They had to replace, I believe, 4 starters from last year in that secondary. At the cornerbacks, you have Darian Kendrick, who is a transfer from Clemson. He has an interception on the season. You have Kelsey Ringo, who has an interception on the season. Those are your 2 corners. Your safeties are Christopher Smith at strong safety, who has 2 picks on the year. You've got Lewis Sign, who is the second leading tackler on the team with 40 tackles and an interception. And the star player is Latavius Brenny, who has 29 tackles. So those are the frontline starters and the personnel for Georgia's defense. Of course, they play a whole lot more. And that's the luxury of what Georgia can be, because you've got great guys up front with the personnel. You've got guys depth-wise that can come in and play. And that's just something Tennessee doesn't have right now when you kind of compare the 2 programs. Now, no surprise, Georgia has, you know, led in the recruiting rankings, I think, like 2 of the last 4 years. Kirby Smart has recruited so well, just so well, since he's been at Georgia. And like I said in the offseason, leading up to the season starting, I've said it right here on this podcast, if not now for Georgia, then probably never, because this is a fantastic team. So that's a look at the defense. Again, the big storyline. 6.6 points given up per game. That leads the nation. That is a little over a touchdown, but just a little shy of a touchdown and an extra point. So this defense for Georgia, what can Tennessee do to it? Well, we'll talk more about it tomorrow, but I'll give you a little hint here, or I'll give you a little tease, I guess. Explosive plays. Tennessee's going to struggle, in my opinion, to run the football, especially when we don't know who's going to be available. Tennessee needs to attack the perimeter, continue to do what it does well. Did that against Alabama. It did that against Kentucky. Did that a little bit against Ole Miss. Attack the perimeter and let your speed guys get out in space and try to get to the second and third layers of that defense. Will Tennessee have enough explosive plays to score 14 points on this team, something no other team has done this year? I think so. Will it have enough to hang with them in the second half? I don't know. Anything can happen. I'm not picking Tennessee to win this football game, but I don't think you are either. But we'll see what happens. This offense creates, and this offense gives you a chance. So you're never truly out of a ball game in this offense, in my opinion. But that is the look at Georgia's defense. We will take a look at the offense and the mailman. That's Stetson Bennett not JT Daniels under center. That and more on the other side. But again, guys, McDonald's, a proud sponsor of this podcast here today. And it's been serving community since 1965. It's always been more than just a place to get tasty food that's affordable. It's really a place where friends and family can come to reconnect, a place where classmates can meet up and study and always can depend on some Wi-Fi, and also have endless supplies of snacks like fries, McFlurries, McDoubles, double cheeseburgers, those McNuggets, whatever you want. Win or lose, it's a place where teammates, competitors, the home team, or the away team can come and to recharge. It's a place where you always look forward to stopping at while you're on a long road trip to rest your legs and, of course, refuel with some of those awesome, affordable snacks I mentioned, okay? It is a place where you can have birthday parties, a place where you can get something quick and on the go. It's a value menu. It is affordable. You've got bingo nights on Thursdays at your local McDonald's. It's got a little something for everybody, all right? It's McDonald's. It's a place that I feel like we've all taken advantage of because it's always been there, but it's always been so reliable, and it's not going anywhere. McDonald's, tasty food, affordable food, and a place for fellowship. McDonald's, I'm loving it. So we heard about the defense that is nothing short of elite for Georgia. That was how we led off our show. Let's dive into the stat sheet, find out the personnel and the numbers for this Georgia offense. Welcome back into Locked On Vols. I'm your host, Eric Kane, at underscore Kaner. Again, you can follow this podcast at Locked On Vols and at underscore Kaner on social media each and every day. Thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen every single day. Chris Lowe coming up in segment number three of ESPN. But now let's look at that offense. All right, it's not too shabby. Okay, when you've got the country's best defense to aid in that, I mean, you can take some chances and you're set up with good field position and, you know, you've got some good players in your own right. 38 points per game is what Georgia's offense is averaging. All right, 430 yards per game is total offense. It throws for 240 yards a game. 190 yards on the ground. It averages 22 first downs per game, 62 plays per game. It's 46% on its conversion rate on third downs, 57% on fourth downs, though it's only attempted 7 fourth down plays so far this year. I would have to imagine that it probably wasn't in many too many fourth down situations. It possesses the football for about 30 minutes and 25 seconds per game. It's given up only 5 sacks, 3 fumbles. It's thrown 8 interceptions. So 11 turnovers total for this offense. And this big, burly offensive line has given up only 5 sacks. Speaking of that offensive line, I do want to say it returned 4 starters from last year. The tackles are anchored by Warren McClendon at right tackle. Jameer Sawyer at left tackle. He did not play last week against Missouri. Kirby Smart said on the SEC teleconference on Wednesday that they'll have to see how he is throughout the week of practice. He's kind of been walking through stuff right now, but they're hopeful that Sawyer can play against Tennessee. Again, that is the left tackle, but as Josh Ward and I talked about on Sports 180 on Wednesday, when one goes out, you just load in another 5-star and you're ready to roll. And Georgia literally has that to its aid so far this season. But those are the numbers offensively. Again, 38 points per game, 430 yards of total offense. You know, Tennessee's offense is very comparable numbers-wise. Of course, not time of possession or anything like that. But that's what Georgia's offense looks like number-wise. Quarterback, it's not JT Daniels. JT Daniels, the transfer from Southern Cal prior to the 2020 season, it took him a while to get in that offense, coming off a torn ACL in 2020. But, you know, Stetson Bennett got the start, the former walk-on, the mailman, as they call him. Of course, if you don't know the legend of the mailman, well, you guys know about all these camps and 7-on-7s and rivals camps and showcases and all these prospects go to in high school to get noticed. Well, you know, Stetson Bennett is not the fleetest of foot. He is not the most athletic guy, and nor is he the biggest guy. So in order to stick out, he wore a U.S. Postal, you know, hat at all of his showcases. And so he got termed as the mailman. And he started last season in 2020, and then JT Daniels finally got in well enough shape and in playing shape and got ready to roll that he took over about the last 4 games of the season. And I thought that offense took off with JT Daniels. Well, coming into this season, he was the starter, or he was the projected starter. Stetson Bennett actually took over in the opener. JT Daniels, trying to get back, has been suffering from rib and lat injuries all year, and he's on the roster. I mean, he played last week against Missouri, but Georgia's going to continue to go with Stetson Bennett. It's kind of like feed the hot hand. Why mess up something that's good? I mean, I kind of get that, but JT Daniels, he's not been super impressive this year. Of course, not 100% healthy, but it's no contest who's the better quarterback, in my opinion. It's JT Daniels over Stetson Bennett. But nonetheless, Stetson Bennett, he's been fine, okay? And when you have 5 stars all around, it's easy to be fine. He's been 80 of 120, so he hasn't thrown the ball an awful lot this year. 1,412 yards passing, 14 touchdowns, and 4 interceptions. He's completing passes at 66%. But the efficiency, something we talk about with Hendon Hooker all the time, right? In terms of the nation leaders, this is a really nice storyline going to the ball game. Number 3 in the country in passing efficiency, which is also passing rate, passer rating. Stetson Bennett is number 3 at 197.3. The 4th quarterback on this list in the nation, one slot behind at number 4, Hendon Hooker at 190.0. So you have two of the country's most efficient passers, smart with the football, doesn't turn it over, coming to do battle in this football game. So I like that storyline. Of course, I mentioned JT Daniels. And running back, it is truly an embarrassment of riches. Everybody that toted the rock for Georgia in 2020 pretty much came back in 2021. It's led by Zamir White, who is the junior tailback, 519 yards, 9 touchdowns on the season. He's averaging 5 yards per carry and just under 60 yards per game. The senior, James Cook, 383 yards on the season, 4 touchdowns. He's averaging just under 6 yards per carry and 42 yards a game. Kendall Milton, who has not played in the last couple of weeks, we'll have to see about his status coming into the Tennessee game, 243 yards on the ground, the sophomore, a touchdown, 5 yards per carry, 40 yards per game. Kenny McIntosh, the junior, I remember when he tore Tennessee up as a true freshman a couple years ago. Kenny McIntosh, 142 yards, a touchdown, 4 yards per carry, and 17 yards per game. And then you have Juwan Edwards, the sophomore, 108 yards and a touchdown. He has been getting a little bit of carries with Milton out the last few weeks. So those are 5 running backs for Georgia. And again, an embarrassment of riches. Those guys are also using the passing game as well. McIntosh has a receiving touchdown on the season. You've got James Cook, who I believe has 2 receiving touchdowns on the season. Yeah. And so they use those running backs all around. So again, Tennessee has a depth issue at running back. Tennessee has an injury issue at running back. Well, Georgia's got 5 guys, 4 of them healthy right now, and they all play. So they're all fresh. Well, what about the receivers, okay? George Pickens is probably their best wide receiver. He is out or recovering from a torn ACL. He has not played so far. Former LSU and highly touted tight end prospect Eric Gilbert, who had a nice season for LSU, but entered the transfer portal, found his way to Florida, didn't work out there. He's at Georgia. He's been away from the team, and he has yet to play this season. Still listed on the roster, but he has yet to play this season. So what are those receiving options? Well, Georgia loves to throw to its freshman tight end, Brock Bowers. Again, a freshman tight end, Brock Bowers, 28 receptions, 493 yards on the season, 6 touchdowns. He averages nearly 18 yards per reception. He is the leading receiver, and Georgia does a whole lot with their tight ends, not just on the line of scrimmage. They put them in the slot. They line up outside. They treat them as wide receivers. Darnell Washington, does that name ring a bell to you guys? Highly touted 2020 prospect, big-time Tennessee target. He is a tight end prospect, or he is a tight end on this team, now a sophomore. He's played in 5 games, had a little bit of an injury bug, but 5 games, 6 receptions, 114 yards. He's averaging 19 yards per catch. Okay, about the wideouts now. Redshirt freshman Ladd McConkey, 21 receptions, 338 yards, 3 touchdowns, 16 yards per reception. Jermaine Burton is the name that we remember. 16 receptions, 300 yards, 3 touchdowns. Adonai Mitchell, 17 receptions, 248, and 2 touchdowns. And then Kyrus Jackson, who's been there forever, the junior wide receiver, only 10 receptions, 126 yards, and 10 touchdowns, or 2 touchdowns. But we know what he can do. We've seen him for years and years and years. So not a lot of firepower at wide receiver or in the receiving, you know, ranks at all, really. But they're getting the job done, and they're using their tight ends in a number of different ways. And I mentioned that offensive line, 4 returning starters, anchored by their tackles, right tackle Warren McLennan and left tackle Jamari Sawyer. But Jamari Sawyer, very questionable for this football game. So this offense, in my opinion, it's okay. It's not flashy. It's pro. It doesn't do a whole lot, but it's got good players. They're boring. They're methodical, but they get the job done. They rely on the run game. They rely on efficient passing. They rely on that elite defense. It is what it is. Tennessee's offense is much more exciting than Georgia's offense, but the results are in the pudding. So this is a good unit. Don't misunderstand me. This is a good unit. It'll be a challenge for Tennessee's defense that is very tired right now to stop it consistently on Saturday. That's why I think if Georgia gets off to a couple of touchdown lead, then they can just anchor back and run the football and rely on that defense, I think Tennessee will be in trouble. It's imperative for Tennessee to get off to a good start in the first quarter and to not get run out of that place, run out of Neyland Stadium in the first quarter like what happened back in 2017. So that's the look at Georgia offensively. It's fine. Nothing like the elite defense, but it's certainly an offensive unit that is good. Not great, but does get the job done with a very efficient quarterback. All right, we will check in with Chris Lowe of ESPN, a conversation on Sports 180 from Wednesday with myself and Josh Ward. That's on the other side. But remember, guys, back and better than ever, a new web interface for the start of basketball season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for basketball and football action this season. Head over to the new updated website on your mobile device as well. Sign up today and you'll receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Las Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, it's still your fastest, easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Don't forget Locked On for that 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That means if I put in $100, they're going to give me $50. If I put in $200, they're going to give me $100. 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use that promo code Locked On. BetOnline, it is where the game starts. We got a final segment left here of a Thursday Locked On Vols. Don't forget, we will tune in with a Rivals writer that covers the University of Georgia football team. That's coming up on a Friday show, plus my team preview, my game preview, all that and more. That's coming up on tomorrow's Locked On Vols. But I teased it. I wanted to bring a conversation to this podcast that Josh Ward and I had on Sports 180, 99.1 The Sports Animal. This was Wednesday afternoon with Chris Lowe of ESPN. Chris Lowe has taken the time to join this podcast a couple of times, friend of the show. And we touched on a number of subjects, what he thinks about Tennessee, the investigation, the Georgia game, Florida, what's going on around the SEC, all that and more. But the first question leading in is just kind of the overall thoughts for Chris Lowe on this Tennessee team and what Josh Heupel has done in 2021. Here is our conversation with Chris Lowe.
Much better, much more competitive than I thought they'd be. I didn't have a lot of high expectations for Tennessee. I felt like just finding a way to scratch and get to a bowl game would be a successful first year. And they've surpassed that, Josh. They really haven't. I think two things stick out specifically. Number one, how effective they've been offensively, the way he's been able to time and time again create big plays with their tempo, to create mismatches, to get guys open, to overcome, in some games, guys who are injured and play some walk-ons, some guys who hadn't probably played a whole lot, and yet they still have a lot of success or have had a lot of success. I think the second thing is Hendon Hooker clearly in this system has been outstanding. And I think what they do fits what he does. He's very comfortable in playing the way that Josh Heupel's asked him to play. And it's an example that sometimes in one system, things may not be exactly the way everybody wants them to be. But if you switch systems, which he did from Virginia Tech to Tennessee, you have a lot of success. It's not really a knock, but I think probably I speak for a lot of Tennessee fans and say, boy, if they would just play him against Pittsburgh the whole game, this team would have beaten Pittsburgh.
Hey, Chris, kind of flip the script a little bit. That was offensively. You look at that defensive staff and the defensive players under Tim Banks. I think for the majority of the year, it was very much overachieving. There's no depth. You have no depth in the secondary. You have no depth at linebacker. But I think as the season's gone on, you start seeing the wear and tear and how truly thin you are. The last two games in particular, I feel like this is the defense a lot expected for the entire season. But overall, what are your thoughts on Tim Banks' defense here at Tennessee?
I think he's done about as well as he could.
Yeah.
And they've done, from Willie Martinez to Rodney Garner, that whole staff on defense has done their best to try to create depth. And that's hard to do when you're as lean on numbers as they are, when you've got so many younger guys or inexperienced guys. And I do think that some of the older guys, like a Matthew Butler, like a Alante Taylor, have been really, staples for this defense to try to be leaders and guys who are consistent and guys that, the younger guys and some of the guys who hadn't played as much have been able to learn from. But no, I mean, it's a combination of being thin and then playing the way Tennessee does on offense. You know, I mean, you're going to play more snaps on defense, and that's just part of it. If you're going to play tempo and go fast and score as quickly as Tennessee did against Kentucky, your defense is going to be out there on the field a lot. And when you get in to the latter part of the season, that's when that lack of depth really starts to show up. You know, the old cliche, the piano gets on your back. I think the piano right now is on Tennessee's back defensively.
We're talking to Chris Lowe. He covers college football for ESPN.com. Last week, Chris, you wrote about this Georgia defense and how talented it is. I think you can tell when opposing coaches, when they sing very genuine praise, that appears to be the case with some of the quotes in your story. How good is this Georgia team? What is Tennessee about to face this Saturday?
Two-part answer, Josh. I think it's talent-wise, it's as good as I've seen in my years of covering ball. The two that come to mind most recently would be the LSU defense in 11 and the Bama defense in 11. Those were great defenses. You know, they played that 9-6 game in Tuscaloosa that year. I was at that game, and I think there were 24 or 25 guys on the field that night just on defense who were drafted. I think this defense has that same type of talent, speed, size, depth, incredibly deep in the line of scrimmage across the front seven. They will be missing, looks like, Adam Anderson again, who's one of their best pass rushers. But the depth, they're able to sort of to withstand that because of the depth. Here's the difference, though, and I think this makes it even more impressive. Football is so much different now than it was 10 years ago. Offenses like Josh Heupel's offense go fast. They got the RPOs. They spread you out. It's harder to play good defense and keep people from scoring. And some coaches will even tell you that what constitutes good defense now is completely different than it was 10 years ago. That said, Georgia's still only given up 5 touchdowns on defense all year long, 5. But I also don't think they played anybody that will push them offensively the way Tennessee will. You know, as far as the tempo, a quarterback who's playing with a lot of confidence, a quarterback who can move around and use his legs like a Hendon Hooker, receivers who are playing with some confidence. You know, Tennessee, how they hold up in the offensive line, I think, is a big key in this game. Can they run the ball enough? I don't think Tennessee's going to line up and run it 200 for 200 yards against these guys, but can they run it enough to keep Georgia honest on defense, where they're not continually in 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, or behind the sticks? But I think the tempo and Tennessee's ability, and I can't emphasize this enough, to create big plays and chunk plays, that's the way you have to beat a defense like this, because you're not going to line up and go on long drives against these guys, but you got to hit them deep. And if there is a weakness in this Georgia defense, and even Kirby Smart told me this when I was with him, they're not as good in the defensive secondary. They lost 4 guys last year who went to the pros, and they're hiding it better because of how good they are across the front. So I think that's where Tennessee's got to take advantage, is find a way to hit them down the field, create some big plays, and get that crowd involved early at Neyland Stadium.
Well, no doubt a challenge ahead on the field Saturday for Tennessee, but nothing new for the program, who's been dealing with challenges on the field, and specifically off the field this last year. Tennessee announced last week that it will not self-impose a ban for this season, and said that it will have some recruiting restrictions, and that'll be known a little later on. Chris, what are your takeaways from Tennessee wrapping up its internal investigation, and what do you think's on the horizon? Of course, the NCAA is yet to weigh in.
You know, it's one thing I would add is Tennessee might be wrapping up its investigation, but I think probably all fans need to understand that the NCAA hasn't ruled on anything. This is still something that the NCAA can come in. Now, it may be we may all be grandfathers by the time the NCAA comes in and rules with the way they go at a snail's pace, but there's still a chance the NCAA could come in and impose their own sanctions on Tennessee. But I do think, having talked to people over there now for the last several months, this is the way they were leaning for a while. That, you know what, we've done our due diligence. We're the ones that brought in Mike Glazer and his group back in November to investigate this thing. We fired Jeremy Pruitt. We fired essentially everybody on the staff, the recruiting office. We've started over. We've included you, the NCAA, in all of our interviews. We've given you everything we've got. We are not going to penalize the staff and the players that are here for something that they didn't have anything to do. And I think that's strongly been from the president, the chancellor, Danny White on down, their stance. that they were not going to do that. Now, again, the NCAA could come in another year or 15 years from now, if there still is an NCAA, and do otherwise. But I think it's the right move by Tennessee. I think they're trying to take care of the kids on this team who battled their butts off and hung in there and didn't have anything to do with some of the violations that are out there. I will say this, though, with the pending lawsuit out there with Jeremy Pruitt and his lawyer, they're probably going to seize on this and say, no, wait a minute. You're saying that on one end, when Chancellor Plowman said all these egregious and shocking allegations and the depths to which people went to cover things up, and now you're saying you're not going to self-impose any sanctions or at least postseason ban, because there will be a loss of scholarships, will be some recruiting restrictions, where coaches can go, how many visits they can make, that kind of thing. But you're going to say, all right, it's not to the point to where you're going to impose a postseason ban. Which one is it? So I can promise you that Pruitt and his legal team will jump on that part of it.
Yeah, Chris Lowe's with us, ESPN.com. Any idea where things stand there in terms of a potential lawsuit coming or when it might come?
You know, I don't know. Obviously, The deadline has come and passed, Josh. What was it, the 29th of October? I never had any feeling that Tennessee was going to pay him any money before then. You know, I think if someone said, what do you ultimately think is going to happen? I do think that Tennessee will pay him some money at some point just to make this thing go away. Now, what's that figure? He's owed $12 million. Or he was owed $12 million. Tennessee fired him with cause. Is it $2 million? Is it $4 million? I don't know. But I do think at some point there will be some type of settlement, because does it behoove anybody, either side, for this thing to linger and go to court? You know, there's the old saying that if two people get in a fight and they fall over into a mud bog and they're wrestling around and fighting in that mud bog, they're both going to come out looking pretty dirty.
Hey, Chris, before you go, Chris Lowe, ESPN.com with us, can you make sense of what's going on with Florida this year? And where do things go from here with Florida and with Dan Mullen?
Yeah, he better not lose to FSU. That's the first thing I'd say. If he loses to FSU, I think he may be looking for a new job. You know, when you start sacrificing guys on your staff and making moves in the middle of the season, you're next. We've all seen that. So, you know, can he get it turned around? I mean, it's obvious that that's sort of what he was doing and what he was told to do to try to sort of make some changes on your staff. As one person who was fired told me, he told him, listen, I got to do whatever I can to create a spark. I just don't think they've recruited very well. I don't think the recruiting over the last few years has been what it should be at Florida. And then this year, you know, coming off last year, you know, they go to the SEC championship game. And this year, they've just been out of sync. You know, and Grantham, the defensive coordinator, gets a lot of flack, and they didn't stop the run this year well. But, guys, when you have the issues you do at quarterback and you turn the football over as much as they have this year, it's going to catch up to you, and that's what's happened this year with the Gators.
Yeah, much like our listening audience, I don't think your dog there is a big fan of Dan Mullen in Florida.
Is it time for a walk?
No, he's upset. I'll tell you what he's upset about. He's mad at me. He groups me with all those mean national media guys. And so he's been barking at me ever since the old Miss fiasco. So I'm on his bad side, too.
Yeah, well, don't want to put all the blame on you, Chris, but
smart dogs, what it sounds like. I mean, I don't know. I'm just kidding.
Carry the shares. Chris Lowe, go read his work, ESPN.com. You'll hear him on Sundays as well alongside Austin Price with The Nation. Chris, thank you for the time as always. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
You bet. Thanks for having me, guys.
Again, that was Chris Lowe of ESPN. Go ahead and give him a follow on Twitter, @CLowe. He's a writer for ESPN and a friend of the show. All right, guys, we took a deep dive into the Georgia Bulldogs offensively, defensively. What makes them tick? What makes that defense so elite? Hope you guys got a good gauge on the player personnel and what their strengths are. And we'll continue to do that tomorrow, as well as a game preview coming up on a Friday Locked On Vols. Guys, thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen. Now, Locked On SEC with Chris Gordy of Sports 790. 5 days a week, Locked On SEC. Make that your second listen after Locked On Vols each and every morning. Guys, we'll finish off a strong work week before we get into a homecoming bout with Georgia on Saturday. That and more coming up. But until then, enjoy the rest of your Thursday, everybody.